In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today on the subject of aging. And when I speak about aging, I'm speaking to all ages, because we are all aging, aren't we? Some of us are showing the signs of it much more rapidly than others. But the fact is that every week that goes by makes everybody 1 week older, no more and no less. Time passes at the same rate for all of us, and we know that two things are certain: death and taxes. Well, that's a pretty bleak prospect if you have no hope, but it's really quite a thrilling one if you have. I've heard it said that nobody has ever committed suicide with a lottery ticket in his pocket. I don't know if that's true or not. How could you ever prove it? But it seems to me pretty likely, because a man with a lottery ticket in his pocket has hope for something. A very, very slender, flimsy hope, but nevertheless, he might win the big millions. But I have a much more solid ground for my hope. I have a much stronger hope and much better reasons for putting my hope there. The first chapter of Ephesians is one of the most marvelously encouraging and bracing chapters. And this is what it tells me. It gives me a picture of where I put my hope. Paul says, "I never cease to give thanks for you when I mention you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the all-glorious Father, may give you the spiritual powers of wisdom and vision, by which there comes the knowledge of him. I pray that your inward eyes may be illumined, so that you may know what is that hope to which he calls you, what is the wealth and glory of the share he offers you among his people in their heritage, and how vast the resources of his power open to us who trust him. They are measured by his strength and the might which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, when he enthroned him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all government and authority, all power and dominion, and any title of sovereignty that can be named, not only in this age, but in the age to come." Paul was almost carried away there, wasn't he, trying to describe the reason for this hope, which the writer to the Hebrews calls an anchor for our souls. This is where my hope rests. And Paul says that he may give you the spiritual powers of wisdom and vision, by which there comes the knowledge of him. None of us can know Jesus Christ without a divine revelation. The preaching of the cross, Paul said, is foolishness to the world. And if some of the things that I'm saying to some of my listeners seem like nonsense, I would hope that you will start ransacking and scouring your Bibles to find out whether the things that I'm saying are true or whether I'm just making them up. But wisdom and vision of spiritual things come by spiritual revelations, which come from the Spirit of God. Paul says, "I pray that your inward eyes may be illumined." And that's what I pray for you today. Whatever visible things may be bothering you, I pray that your inward eyes may be illumined. For what? So that you may know what is that hope to which he calls you, what the wealth and glory of the share he offers you among his people in their heritage, and how vast the resources of his power open to us who trust him. What is our part in all this? Trust. Just plain, simple trust. our hope, the wealth, the glory, the power, the vast resources. Think of those words. Hope, wealth, glory, power, vast resources. Open to those who trust in Him. Eye hath not seen, nor hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And these things are measured, Paul says, not by our strength and our might, but by the strength and the might which God exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Can you think of a greater miracle? The power of the resurrection. And He not only raised Him from the dead, look at this, it says in verse 20, He enthroned Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. That's called the doctrine of the ascension by theologians. He has been enthroned, Jesus Christ, having lived here on earth, having been crucified, dead, and buried, is now enthroned at His right hand, far above all government and authority, all power and dominion, any title of sovereignty that can be named in this age or in the age to come. That is where my hope rests, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. In a little book called Joy and Strength, there's a passage written by someone called James Smeathen. And the passage for January 2nd is this: I hope it may be the happiest year of your life, as I think each succeeding year of everybody's life should be, if only everybody were wise enough to see things as they are. That fits right in with what I've been saying about aging. Every succeeding year of everybody's life ought to be happier than the last one. Smeathen goes on to say, for it is certain that there really exists, laid up and ready to hand for those who will just lay hands upon it, enough for everyone and enough forever. I'm quite sure that the central mistake of all lives that are mistaken is the not taking this simple, unchangeable fact for granted, not seeing that it is so and cannot but be so and will remain so even if we don't believe it. I think I can trace every scrap of sorrow in my own life to this simple unbelief. How could I be anything but quite happy if I believed always that the past is forgiven, that the present is furnished with power, and that the future is bright with hope? Let me read that again. How could I be anything but quite happy if I believed always that the past is forgiven, that the present is furnished with power, and that the future is bright with hope? Because of the same abiding facts, which don't change with my moods, do not crumble because I totter and stagger at the promise of unbelief, but stand firm and clear with their peaks of pearl, cleaving the air of eternity, and the bases of their hills rooted unfathomably in the rock of God. I think of my dear Canadian mom, Mom Cunningham. I've talked about her on the radio before, but her roots were deep in the foundations that God had laid, and her hope was built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I think of Mom Cunningham as one of the serene people that I've known, not miserable, not self-centered, not bored or self-pitying, never talking about her ills and ails and aches and pains, but fruitful in old age. And the verse that I always think of when I think of Mom Cunningham is in Romans 15, verse 13. This, I think, was a verse that Mom Cunningham lived by, and it was the verse that she gave me in every letter that she wrote to me. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope." I never knew Mom Cunningham until she was white-haired, but her face was radiant with hope from the very first time I saw her standing outside the door of my room in the dormitory in Bible school in Alberta, Canada. I think of her as radiant with hope. Serene because she was not occupied with herself. Not miserable because she was occupied with the interests of others. She was a true spiritual mother, not only to me as a very lonely Bible school student back in 1948, but to thousands, at least hundreds, maybe thousands would be an exaggeration, although it was a school of about 1,600 and she became the dean of that Bible school. She was a spiritual mother to hundreds of Bible school women. I cannot imagine that Mom Cunningham was ever bored. I certainly never heard a hint of self-pity from her lips. She was fruitful in old age, loving to the end, even though she was helpless. She became helpless with Parkinson's disease, and I remember when she was still able to walk, she would stand holding her left hand with her right because her left hand was trembling so. And when I asked her about it, she just passed it off with a very casual remark and went on to something else, not eager at all to give me a recital of the nature of her disease. I remember Mr. Maxwell, the president and founder of that school. He also had Parkinson's disease. And when I visited him in the very last stages of that disease, where he was almost unable to talk, the first thing he said when he saw me come into the room was, "I remember when you were 15 years old." What was the difference in these old people? They had Christ. Their hope was in Christ. Their minds were stayed upon Him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.